I'm Cape.
And I'm Drew.
We're just two former student athletes who understand the game.
Not just on the court.
But in life.
At the end of the day, we just want to help.
Today's athletes and former just trying to find their way.
It's bigger than sports.
This is the Cape and Drew Podcast, the real TikTok. What's up, everybody? I'm Cape.
I'm Drew. And today we are back with our part two special of See Black Women. And I'll just kind of go over the purpose of this again before I introduce our guest. With everything kind of going on right now, especially the stuff you started seeing with women and then the stuff you started seeing that was just not really getting highlighted a lot in the news as far as people were going missing, people were being lynched. And I just kind of was talking to Cape and was like, man, this is, it's really crazy. And so we kind of came together. And we wanted to highlight, you know, see Black women as far as they're actually doing some really dynamic things. And so that brings me, you know, to our second guest of this series. And introduce her. It's so funny because when I think about her and I'm talking about her, she's one of those people where you might not know her going into a space or going into a room, but she, you know, she's somebody. And so without further ado, we have the Vice Chancellor and the Student Enrollment Manager of Southern University, Ms. Dr. Melvin Williams. How are you doing today, Dr. Williams?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for, you know, being with us here today, tonight. And so the first question we always ask people is just, you know, how are you doing during this COVID-19 time? But also, what's been one of the positive things that you've gotten out of quarantine? And what's the one thing that you're just over during the quarantine?
Okay, so first off, let me just say thank you guys for having me on your show. I am just so happy to see young Black men doing great stuff. So thank you for having me. And I'm just honored to be here. So quarantine life, oh my God. Ask my clothes. You can talk to my jeans because like in the kitchen. Whipping it up like a stir fry, right? That's what I've been doing. So, you know, just cooking because, you know, restaurants were closed. I told some friends of mine that I've tried completely every face cream known to man because I figured, why not? I'm in quarantine. If I break out, it won't matter. And so, you know, my next move might be beauty consultant. I have no idea. But that's what I've been doing and really connecting and working a lot, like really, really, really working. And, you know, just keeping the, you know, our campus did not close. So we were open the entire time. Well, we closed campus technically, but we were still, you know, we had classes online and we still had students in our residential apartments. And for those of you that don't know, I am the Vice Chancellor for Southern University Shreveport and Southern University New Orleans campuses. So I manage two separate autonomous campuses, and that has a life of its own. And having a set of students in New Orleans and a set of students in Shreveport, 5 hours away, two different land masses, has been bananas. But but we kept everybody well, and so that's what I've been doing, working and, you know, just preparing for a potential reopening. So that's about it. Getting fat, yeah. Face cream, keeping suits alive.
Is there anything that you're just, like, tired of where it's like, yo, if I see this, if I have to do this again, I might lose it?
I'm sick of the Karens, but, you know, I'm sick of them on the I'm tired of that. Might lose it if I see another Karen. But besides that, just being in home, you know, being at home has brought another perspective of, you know, just things, just overall. And, you know, really, I've just really enjoyed it. You know, I've really enjoyed it. I'm ready. I miss vacation. So I'm over being in the house, but, you know, it is what it is. So.
Hey, I'm tired of the Karens too, man. I think I saw one today and I was just like, I mean, what? Just leave us alone. Like,
I know. Back.
Why are you following us? Why we just can't be out
give
here?
Us
you
know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Me and Drew talked about on another episode. It was kind of right after the George Floyd that incident with my man in the park, the bird watcher.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I made the comment. I said, man, that could have been a lot worse. A different situation, different set of cops, different thing. I mean, because
had it been the wrong brother, it'd have been a whole nother outcome. It
would have been a whole nother thing. Thank goodness that he handled himself like a gentleman and did the right thing. But another brother, another type of, you know what I'm saying? Who knows?
One of my cousins, whole different.
Me too. One of my cousins, or maybe even me. I don't know. I'm a gentleman too, but you know, I just don't know. I just pray I never get caught up in a situation.
Yeah, like absolutely.
You never know. But so you kind of talked a little bit about yourself. But how did you get into higher education? What was your start like? And did you always know you wanted to work in higher education?
No, I did not know that. No, you don't wake up, you don't go to sleep. And, you know, as a little girl with my little, enrollment hat on and have all my bears enrolling them into this imaginary college. No, that did not happen. So, I literally fell into higher education. I was working at corporate America and I was the human resources director for a large company. And it was a large retail company, a national company, and I was actually on campus at Grambling, and I was helping out at Grambling, just doing different things and just visiting. It's my alma mater. Shouts out to Grambling. Mm-hmm. Gram fam in the house. And I was on campus and literally got offered a job. Said, "What? Don't you want to work at Grambling? Don't you want to work here?" And I'm like, "Oh, sure, yeah, okay, sounds good." You know, really high level type. You know, application.
You were blessed.
Yeah.
Completely blessed and got my start there. So, no, I did apply and went through interview and all of that. But literally, it just fell into my lap. And I started my journey at my collegiate career at Grambling State University and then worked at Southern, Centenary College of Louisiana, and the Southern University system. And so that's how I got started. And no, I did not think that I would be working in higher education. I thought that, you know, I'm a businesswoman, and I thought that I would stay in business and just, you know, make a boatload of money and just do that. But I'm in higher education and I love it.
Now, I did some research. So both your parents went to Grambling, right?
Both of my parents went to Grambling. Look at you. Yes. Absolutely. So both of my parents went to Grambling. My sister went to Grambling, friends, family. I mean, of course, you know, a lot of family. And, you know, so we have a house divided. My little nephew, he graduated from Southern. I have a niece that went to Southern. Another niece that just graduated from Xavier. Well, not just. Well, maybe now about 3 years now. And she's a New Orleans police officer. So proud of her. So just the HBCU culture has just been in my heart, my veins. And, you know, just glad to be in the space, right? But yes, they both went to Grambling.
And awesome. Not to add an off-the-wall question, but this wasn't on our script, but I think the importance is just of that HBCU, you know, culture, lifestyle, education, because you start to see now people are starting to buy into it. But it's like, if you've already been there, you're just like, yo, we kind of been on this, but we'll let y'all taste a little bit.
Right.
So, I just wanted to ask you, like, do you feel like, how would you rate that HBCU experience and try to explain it to somebody? Like, it's.
Oh, wow. I honestly, you know, I can't say that. It is rateable. Mm-hmm. You know, I really don't. It is invaluable. You know, if I tell students all the time, especially high school students, you have your entire life to be Black in America. Mm-hmm. So for, you know, trust me, you will not change your race. You will be Black, okay? So during that time in college where you are, you know, finding yourself and you're making mistakes, and you're going to make plenty, and you are, you know, finding your way and learning your niche and wanting these opportunities, what better place to have that experience than at an HBCU, where you can really test who you are as a person, So that means you're never having to worry about, did I not get the opportunity because this is going on or because that's going on? You know, did I not get the internship or did I not know about this scholarship because I don't have the right relationship with my faculty? You know, that's off the table. You know, there isn't a Black Student Union. If you go to an HBCU, you in the Black Student Union, okay? So there isn't a subculture of a subculture of a, you know, and you got to try to, you know, you see a brother on campus, you're like, what's up? You know, it's no secret codes.
Yeah.
You know, you can just literally be yourself and test the limits. It's like being on the Autobahn. Drive as fast as you can, make the mistakes, do what you need to do, and then go out into the world, and then you get to know what you're good at. In addition to that, there is nothing like meeting your future business partner. There's nothing like meeting your future colleague, your future husband, wife, whomever, your bridesmaid, your groomsman. Yeah. I mean, the whole scenario, I mean, you are really creating life at that time and what your life is going to look like for a long time. I mean, your roommate is going to be the CEO of some company. Mm-hmm. You're going to like really, really, really know them because you would have gotten in trouble with this person. You would have like done, you know, you got stuff on this person. So really, you know, they're going to help you because y'all went to judicial affairs together. So it's really, and if y'all, they're going to, you know, have that over your head. So you're going to have these riders, you know, that are going to be with you through thick and thin forever. And the network through fraternities and sororities and organizations and the faculty and the president and the people that come on campus and the administrators, it's, you know, it's something that you cannot really quantify as a tuition fee dollar amount. You can't buy the relationships that I have. My Rolodex deep, and it's deep with the friends that Graham fam, Jackson State, in this box, yeah. You know, and they're all making Cardi B money moves. So I can scroll and call a Sarah, call one of my former classmates, call, you know, somebody, and things get to happen for the culture. In addition to that, I would say now is the time to support Black businesses. And one of the largest business enterprises that we have as a people would be the HBCU. It is a business. So if you really, really, really want to support a Black business, send your nephews, send your nieces, send your cousins, send your church members, send your daughters, send your sons, send yourself back to an HBCU. Yeah.
I'm trying to describe like an HBCU to someone. I always say like, okay, think about the hottest day of the summer and you look into your fridge and there's nothing to eat, nothing to drink. And we ain't got nothing in here. But then hours later, your mom or your grandmother, your auntie comes back out with this meal that is just the best meal you've ever had in your life.
Like a chopped basket of experience. Yeah.
And you're just like, how'd you do this? And he's like, don't even worry about that.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's tremendous. And again, it is the network and you can't just get in the network later. You know, I mean, you have to get in on the ground level. You got to get in now. And, you know, it's an experience unlike any other. And just like any other school, there are challenges. There are challenges with all of our higher education institutions. But it does not, those challenges do not outweigh the outcomes and the return on the investment in which, you know, you will, you know, enjoy as a graduate and as an alum, you know, to be a part of that legacy.
The only thing I want to say to that, and I know we got to move on, but I didn't go to a HBCU for undergrad. I went there for graduate school. And of course, it's just different. I understand. Yeah. I'm not trying to compare. But I worked there for like 8.5 years, and I felt like I was vicariously living through some of the students because I just couldn't believe, because the culture, the little things, fried chicken Wednesdays, homecoming, like I didn't have, like PWS homecoming, Drew would tell you when we was at VCU, I mean, first of all, we didn't really experience it because we was hooping. That's the first thing. Football. But then I'm like working at Federal State, and I'm like, wait a minute, it's a week of festivities, and then Thursday through Sunday, the alumni are back, so the yard is crazy. And I'm like, I missed out. I'm like low key pissed because I'm like, I missed this.
So this is what I've been doing, and let me say this, and the alumni. So again, it's not just the network of who you are at that time and your classmates. It's the network. I mean, I can't tell you how many times that I have called someplace and needed something. And I'm like, you went to Grambling, you Grambam, or you went to Jackson, or I mean, even like a whole nother school that I didn't even attend. Like, oh, you went to, oh yeah, I went to Grambling. Like, oh yeah, then that child, we good. Okay, I see. I got you. You know, then the paper get processed real quick. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You know, everything gets kind of, you know, then the meeting gets, you know, then the meeting is made and everything happens, you know, so.
That's awesome.
Definitely know exactly what you're saying. Now, what's your, like, you know, matriculation throughout higher ed, what were some, like, maybe some difficulties you may have had, or just things you had to be mindful of, just being that you are a Black woman, just like certain things, it was like, you know, you might not have known, but you had to kind of get hip to.
Yeah, so I've always known that I was a woman, so I did know that part, so I wasn't hip to that. Knew that like a long time ago. But I think, you know, and so many people ask me that question, and, you know, I don't know any other way to lead than as a woman, so I don't know any difference. Mm-hmm. I have no point of difference because I've always led as a strong Black female, and that's just how I roll. I think seeing people's responses to my leadership, which if I'm the leader, it's hard for me to manifest how you're feeling about my decisions because I'm the one making them. So I lead like it's an army. You know, we get the feedback, the best idea wins, and we're off to the races. So, but you know, with senior leadership and being in a senior leadership role and, but still having a layer of leadership above me, you know, there are times, you know, when you're making deals for the institution and you are working with legislators and you're working business deals because you need a new cafeteria for the students, or, you know, you're trying to get the best contract for, you know, a new building on campus. I mean, this, again, is a business. So going in as the person that is advocating for my students, I know at the end of the day, as a woman, it's not going to come back. You know, I need to come back with the deal. And so being a female, being a woman is not an excuse. And at the end of the day, I'm fighting for my kids. I'm fighting for my university. And I'm going to ensure that, you know, that I am doing everything possible to make it happen. And, you know, there are challenges. I just think, you know, we can't spend so much time being focused on the challenges. You know, it's like being Black in America. That's not gonna change. Mm. So you're not gonna not be Black. So then now what do we do to change legislation? Now what do we do to make sure our voice is heard? Same thing, you know, being a Black woman, you know, I can't change that. But where there are obstacles, I will confront them one at a time and, you know, make the change where I see those changes necessary. And I don't shy away from, you know, my ideas, and I don't mind leaning in at the table and telling people, you know, my thoughts. If I'm at the table, it's at the table because I know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's where your ideas, your creativity, your plans, you know, speak in the affirmative and be sure you come with the facts, just like we do as Black people. You know, you got to be faster, smarter, fill in the blank, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, sometimes you just, you know, you're proving yourself every day. You're proving yourself every day. And it gets, you know, people say, well, I shouldn't have to prove myself. Well, you know, it is what it is. So get, you know, pull your bootstraps up and let's do it. Let's get it done. because the culture and the race and what we need to do, that work is not going to stop.
Yes. And I appreciate you saying that so much, because me and Drew always talk about so many people want change, whatever the case may be, and they do a lot of lip service. And, you know, it's, and I believe the things that are happening in our country right now for a reason, but I, you know, the easy, not the easy part, but, you know, protesting and the Black Lives Matter stuff, the murals being painted, that's beautiful. But what you're talking about is the real struggle, the real work, getting a seat at the table, which takes time and years.
Absolutely.
And the education and the, yep. and the network. And that's the yep. part that we, as people of color, have to understand, that that's the process. Like, it takes a yep. minute, and it takes a lot of sacrifice to get to that point. And I think that's why Drew wanted to do this, to highlight people like yourself, because you all have done the work and are really trying to make the difference. And so that kind of leads into the next question.
Let me just, if you don't.
Yeah, go ahead.
Talk about the table. It's, as Tyler Perry says, build your own damn table.
That's right. You
know, everything that I've done is not because somebody made a path for me. It was like, oh, beyond the trees is what I want to do. So let's plow through.
Yes.
You know, I didn't just become the co-founder of the Higher Education Leadership Foundation that has trained over 300 higher education professionals wow. because somebody else had done it. Right. You know, it because it had not been done. So that's what I am, you know, I'm building a table so that everybody can have a seat meet. And I'm hoping that this table expands and somebody pulls out an end, just like the, you know, like we do in family, you put the little middle part in, build the table. You know, so my goal is not necessarily to fit in or to ask to be placed in a place where, you know, where a table is already prepared for me.
Right.
It is, you know, chiseling out my own and having people that look like me, have the same values as I do, and goals, be able to have those same opportunities and, you know, leave that legacy behind.
That's dope. That's what it's all about. So was there ever a turning point in your career when you knew you wanted to be a vice chancellor? I know there's this trajectory that we're supposed to be on a higher ed, like you're supposed to be a director, then maybe a dean, then maybe, you know, associate VP, associate. Was that kind of your role or your path, or how did it turn out?
So let me just say this. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called.
Mm. Don't start preaching now. Don't start preaching.
I'm the substitute preacher. But, you know, so I've never felt that I had to take steps. Mm. You know, I never felt like, well, you know, I'm just this now, so I have to do this and this and this and then get to here. And then I am a do the work person. And I'm also a firm believer in you know, not really telling myself no. Okay. So y'all gonna have to tell me no. So I'm going to apply.
Shoot your shot. See what happens.
Go out there. And I mean, you remember the movie Color Purple. So I'm gonna throw it out there. See, see what sticks. I'm just put it out there. See what the wall gonna look like. So I'm saying I'm not, and I hope everybody that watches this, and if this is a nugget for you, please take this nugget. There is a balance between being underconfident, which a lot of times Black people are, well, you know, I'm not ready, and especially sometimes women, we will tend to diminish our accomplishments. Well, you know, this person, and she was this, and then you have to spend 5 years to do that, and then we'll wait. You know, sometimes you have to kind of pour in two cups of confidence to get to the next level, because you may just be the person that God has called for that particular season. Mm-hmm. And he will qualify you for whatever that role is, because whatever is for you has your name on it, okay? And you're not going to get anything that doesn't belong to you.
Mm.
And everything that's for you is for you.
Right.
So with the, you know, well, I don't know if I'm ready. I'm just gonna, well, let me do two more grants and then maybe I'll, you know, feel, you know, because the last lady, she had $500,000. I don't know if they're gonna get me. They might just see your grind. You know, you don't know what people when you're presenting yourself. But at the same time, I do know some of my friends out there that are a bit too, you know, you have to know that balance.
Right.
You have to know that balance. So yes, if you're just out of college and you just graduated and you just started and you know, I wouldn't apply to be the vice president. Okay. Hold on, little grasshopper. You know, right. No, but don't just psych yourself. Mm-hmm. You because you just never know. And especially for those of you that are considering the presidency, I say that, you know, as you are, you know, considering your next steps, that, you know, don't talk yourself out of those roles because you never know what God has for you. Mm-hmm. You know, you just never know. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. And I want Drew, and let me ask her this really quick, because you got the juice now. You had it for a minute, I can tell, but you're the hiring person. You're like, you hire people and it's your
work. Yeah.
Like if you,
all the time.
At that level, you're looking for talent. Whatever talent looks like, you know, that's what you'll take. Yep. So whether somebody has 10 years, 5.5 years, when you do it through the interview process, yeah, you look at credentials and all of that. But you know, you can tell, and I'm asking, this is like a question. You can tell when you're interviewing somebody, you're like, okay, Drew Johnson, I can see it. He has what we need, he fits. And you might have somebody that's had 20 years of experience that's been whatever, but you see Drew, you know, or ambitious, he's easy to get along with, get it done. Is that, that's how that kind of works, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes I'm turned off by people who have done it for so long. Because I need you to do it in this innovative and new way and follow these best practices in which I have established. So sometimes that doesn't bode well for me. I want people who can be loyal, follow directions, stay up all night, get it done, go to bed early, beat me up, and have ideas and ways to solve problems. I am looking for people that are problem solvers, that are critical thinkers, and that are ready to change the face of the HBCU community. So if you can do that, you can come work for me.
Nice.
That if you need it, you stay on the poach.
You are saying a word today, and I'm not even surprised by any of this. I'm just, because I just remember this. I just remember this by you talking, and it's just that tone, that persona of like, oh, you don't like me? I mean, that's cool. Join the club. We got jackets.
Exactly. And
now, can you talk to or speak about like some of the people who have like mentored you or like poured into you and like the impact they had on you?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a fantastic question. And you know, it's always my pastor says that if you see a turtle on a log, you have to know that he didn't get there by himself. And so I will tell you, I am that turtle and I did not get to where I am by myself. And there were so many people, men and women, that that saw in me that hunger, that drive, that that ability to solve problems and gave me tough assignments. And one of those people in particular is Dr. Cassie Freeman. She is a renowned writer and HBCU advocate, and she writes all of her literature is centered around Blacks in higher education and college choice. She was the president of the Southern University system. And at that point in time gave me, I was literally, as the people say, just a whatever it was. So I was literally just an assistant vice chancellor. And she elevated me all the way to the chief of staff of the entire system, managing 5 campuses, 5 chancellors, 17,000 students, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of employees. And it was, I mean, I was completely blown away at her level of confidence that she placed in me. At that time, I was, you know, just given the responsibility of being able to speak in front of the legislature to defend our institution for funding formulas and, you know, just really change the landscape of the way that Southern University, you know, approached budget cuts and so many different things that were going on at that time. And so Dr. Cassie Freeman is absolutely a name that I will place out into the universe. And I tell her all the time, thank you, thank you, thank you for giving me an opportunity. Of course, Dr. Ray Belton, who is now the president of the Southern University system. Wow, I know I'm gonna mess up and miss somebody's name, but there are so many people that saw something in me that, you know, really poured into me. And I'm learning so much, you know, daily from so many different people. And I find wisdom in so many different places. And just having an open mind to those that are around you and unlikely sources can also be a source for encouragement as you go along your journey. So those people have been tremendous for me, and I just appreciate them so. So
that's awesome.
I definitely just remember, you know, you all at Health, you and Dr. Felton really kind of stood out to me. Like the two things that you said, and you didn't even really say them, but you were talking about them that you probably don't even remember. You just talking about one time, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get what you want to be, man. Like, you want me to sweep?
That's right.
Oh, I got you.
You got to have muscle.
And so the other thing you said was, you know, we're both tall, right? And so you were like, you know, everyone doesn't like the network, right? I don't love it because I can get off fast. And so I always remembered about you, like, it's just that, but you still just had it. You know, and so that's kind of like one of the things I always took away from like you and just other things from the Health, but it was just like dope as far as like that part, that piece.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it is tough because, you know, I have so many different things that I do and so many, you know, people that, you know, ask me to do so many different things. And, you know, it takes a lot out of you to, you know, be able to network and talk to people. And it's something that I really don't enjoy the small talk of like receptions and all of that. So I'm always, you know, and I told you guys, and I tell it to so many different people that it takes a lot out of me to be that social. So I'm like, okay, here we go, you know, try to, you know, let's do this, you know. But, you know, I know that most of the times I'm there for a cause when I'm out at different events, you know, it is because I'm advocating on behalf of HBCUs, on behalf of organizations in which I believe in. So it's important work, and you're right. It is one of my things that I don't like the most, but.
So colleges and COVID and all that's going on in the world, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on colleges restarting? How do you navigate that space of trying to take everyone's best interests into account?
Yeah, so I am the chairperson of the Safe at SUNO COVID response plan. And, you know, it is very, very, very tough because honestly, there is no good data, no information, nobody knows. Once Dr. Fauci tells us what to do, then we'll do that, I guess. You know, he's the boss of all of this.
Yeah.
But there are really, you know, no perfect answers.
Right.
And we are not going to know which side of history we were on, especially at this point in time.
Right.
Although it is July 6th and we're about a month to opening, as of now, it's a tremendous amount of time that we have to see what Americans are going to do as it relates to social distancing and wearing masks and taking this pandemic very seriously and keeping, you know, for me, first and foremost, it's keeping students safe, keeping my faculty, my students, and the staff safe, because this is life and death. And although I may make personal choices when it comes to the campus and when it comes to running the enterprise that I have to run known as Southern University, you know, some of those personal beliefs, I can't, you know, I have to, you know, use the science in that regard to keep people safe. So we're doing so many different things. You know, football is a big concern. You know, I'm in the South, I'm in Louisiana. So, people are wanting to know, we're going to play football, we have the Bayou Classic, or, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Like, I don't know. We have had HBCUs to come out this week and say, you know, season's canceled. Don't even get your outfit for homecoming. You won't need it. Save it, you know, put in a little Ziploc bag. You can wear it, you know, in 2021. And, you know, we just really don't know. So Southern, in our posture at this point, we are preparing for a reopening, and we will be using hybrid scheduling to ensure that we are social distancing and giving students an opportunity to kind of space out, and our staff and faculty, you know, the flexibility and freedom to, you know, still deliver the pedagogy in which we need to remain a quality institution, but stay safe at the same time. So we got a plan. Don't know if it's going to work. We'll see. Fingers crossed. Dear Lord, help us all.
How many students does Southern have?
Well, in the entire system, we are about 15,000 students. But at the New Orleans campus, it's about 2,600 for fall. Okay. Freeport, about 3,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I'm like right in between of like, yo, I can't wait to get back to campus.
I know.
I'm about to be I Am Legend out here. Like.
Right. Right. Just lock up. Forget it. Cancel 20.
It's a change. It can change hour to hour as far as like your mood to how everything's going. But yeah, it's like you said, you don't really know. So you like hoping for the best.
There's no playbook. We've never seen this before.
We've partnered with a hospital, Ochsner Health Systems, and they have been a great partner for us. And they have come in, they've evaluated our buildings and classrooms and, you know, conference rooms and student apartments. And, you know, we're preparing for, you know, bringing students back to a safe environment and ensuring that we are disinfecting and the like. But we have our friends like at Wiley just said, you know, hey, we're online. We're not going to do it. Howard, I think, has announced that they will be fully online. So, you know, you just never know.
I think Harvard announced today.
Yeah,
that they're going to be strictly online this semester.
There you go.
That's huge. I mean,
I try to keep up with like, you know, what students are saying and talking about. We had like a town hall, and I just looked on Twitter after, right? And all our students were like, "No visitations? Are you crazy? What's going on here?"
I'm
like, hey, guys, you want to make sure we have a college to visit. Like,
it's an entirely different college life, you know, the social aspect. And so for HBCUs, it's going to be critical because we rely on the connectivity piece.
Yes.
And so the question for HBCUs, in which we will have to answer and respond to, is how do we manage that connectivity piece in which we are known for, in which is a part of who we are as a people? Mm-hmm. How do we manage that in a distance environment, you know, in an online and Zoom box type environment?
Because that's a part of the pitch, right? That's the sale of the HBCU. That's how you recruit. Like, you're not going to, like you were saying earlier, you're not going to get another experience like this. You got the rest of your life to be in this crazy country. Come here, get this love for 4 years because we're so connected.
Yeah.
And now it's like, you know, if I'm a parent, to be honest with you, if I'm a parent of an 18-year-old right now, they just graduated college or graduated high school, I mean, I might say, sweetheart or son, you know, let's just maybe wait a year or wait this semester. You know, sure. That would just be because being in college, I know what college is really supposed to be about. PWI, HBCU, we know what college is about. It's about connecting, socializing, networking, being up, staying up late, not social distancing. We're supposed to be
being at HBCU is to not to socially distance.
Yes, exactly. So I would just be looking at my kid like, listen, just wait it out because when you go to college, I want you to go to college. You know what I mean? Yeah. I want you to go get this experience that, you know, so I digress though, you know.
And so that kind of flows into our next question though. Like, I've always seen that you have like a great relationship with the students. Like, you're always accessible. whether it's like via social media. Like, can you speak to the importance of just, you know, being present, authentic, and like available to your students and how that kind of impacts them? Because I think it was your birthday or something was going on, but you had all these screenshots of like students saying, oh my God, I just love Dr. Wiz. And so just talk to that.
Birthday celebrator, okay? I'm honestly not, but I have students. I have about 7,000 of them, okay? So when one finds out that it is Dr. Williams' birthday, it becomes a production. So you are correct. Social media was very interesting on that day, but I'm thankful. They are all mine. They all belong to me, and they know that we can talk about, you know, all sorts of things. I've committed myself to this space, and I've committed myself to the students in which become our output of what our work is at an HBCU. For me, the reward, they're not printing enough money for me to miss commencement. Mm. Because I saw you at orientation.
Right.
Oh, Jesus.
Had my doubts.
You made it over. And, I pray for my students at night. I help them through tough times. I create a space at our college, at our both of our universities, where it becomes an incubator to make mistakes. And it's a safe environment. And they're supposed to learn, and I want them to grow as professionals so that they will become as prepared as possible, and they will stand out in a crowd once they walk across that stage and we hand them their earned degree. Mm. Okay. So if I'm committing to that work, the commitment is great. And that means that I am talking to students. I am fussing at students. I am, helping them along. I'm writing letters of recommendation. I'm, putting them on jobs. I am developing them with the soft skills that are required for them to go out into the workforce and make a difference. And uphold the name of Southern University, because we have a rich history, and they can't roll out without, this stamp of approval, right? Mm-hmm. And it's incumbent on me, being the keeper of that legacy, to ensure that that happens. And everybody that works for me knows that's our mission. And we take it very seriously. So we do the most that we can with what we have to make the experience rewarding. And that's the work we get to do. We have a lot of fun doing it.
I found that, you're able to, if you're talking to a student and you're talking, they'll cut you off and they'll just, tune you out fast. But I've realized via like social media, once you kind of build that relationship with them, they're in tune to listen to you, because I just felt like I had a couple of students just text me, for Father's Day, like, hey, Mr. Drew, I just always see what you do, man. You just really, and we'll have like maybe 2 minute conversations, but just they get to see me in that aspect. And right. I kind of buy in a while ago, like, I'm not El Chapo. Like, I mean, no one's looking for me. Right. Like, I mean, so if the students want to follow me, okay, fine. They can just, because I tell Kate this all the time. We always talk about this. Like, you could be as cool as you think you are. Students are gonna clown you regardless. So,
trust me. Yes. Oh yeah. This is. Yeah, they do. They keep you honest a lot, mm-hmm. and they're forever reminding you and helping you through your patient's walk.
That's
been some of my like best like relationships, as far as like being able to talk to them and like see different things that they like, and then being able to connect with them through that.
Right. Yeah, it is. And to watch them even after they graduate. I have so many students that, I've been to their weddings. They're now owners of companies and doing so many phenomenal things in the world. And it's just a source of pride to know that the people that walked our halls are now in positions of power and are making a difference, and they're giving back, and they're doing some incredible work in their space, and they have become catalysts for change. And that is, you know, we had a very small part in what they are doing now. And that's exciting.
Third tier.
Don't cry.
Third tier. You said a third tier.
You're supposed to make me cry.
Man, that's awesome, though. And I do want to say that I think the social media aspect, it humanizes us too, especially for smaller level. I think they see the title, but then they might follow you on social media, Instagram, whatever, and they're like, oh, she's into that, or she likes makeup like me. She's doing the makeup like me. So now y'all have a conversation, right? Face cream. You know, you have a conversation about face cream, and then next thing you know, you're their mentor. You know what I mean? That's like the bridge, right? You're the makeup mentor and their life mentor.
prime example, Kate. I'm looking at some of her pictures, right? And you got Dr. Melvin Williams. And then I see a picture, I was like, oh, she a big Diana Ross fan.
I'm a huge Diana Ross fan. Absolutely. Oh my gosh, so you saw my Halloween post.
Yes.
So the students went completely nuts. I do an homage every Halloween to a famous Black woman. So this past year was Diana Ross. And, social media blew up, and it was.
Hey, she nailed it. Cause I was like, dang, like you say, it really like, yo, you can have a good time. Like you can really like.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't get to work around all these young people to be not having fun.
Right. And look, I'm over here on Instagram looking for it. I'll find it later though.
Follow me on Instagram. Give me some followers. So that people can keep me hip.
I got you hip. You making us hip right now. So what, you know, everything is kind of going on in the world right now, the protests, the rioting. And so what happens now? And from your standpoint, from your perspective, what happens now? And would you like to see anything done at the university level as far as being innovative and continuing to demand change?
Yeah, I think what happens now is people vote.
Mm.
I mean, it's just real easy. It's not a lot to do. It's, you know, you want to know what happens next. It is to get involved in your local elections. All politics are local. That is said, and it's tested, and it's tried and true. But it's to get involved. It's to also be bold enough to run for office. Quit with the they. You are the they. And you are the change that we're waiting for. So start now, working on campaigns, be involved in the political process, go to your city council meetings. I go to the city council meetings. I go to the school board meetings. I go to our commission meetings. You need to inform yourself and, vote. That's what you do now. Yeah. You vote.
That's a good point.
Keep it simple.
Kanye West is about
a lot of time.
You're not voting for Kanye, are you?
No, Kanye has a fit. Okay, I need him to have several. I want him to go into the Superdome, get the start line, and pick a seat and have one. Okay, because Kanye, please stop. We don't. Now is not the time to play. You know, you can't play games right now. You cannot play games with this process because somebody is going to. Vote for Kanye, and
it's a wasted vote.
Right. So now is not the time to play games, Mr. West. If you are listening to me, if you're listening to this show, now ain't the time.
Now ain't the time.
Not now.
I think we've all been able to see like some of our students have like these massive followings on their social media platforms.
Yeah. So,
if you had a student at Southern, what would be like recommendations for them to like, you know, hey, I want you to still promote change, but like be safe, whether it's through social media or even out, you know, doing protests, like how would you kind of, you know, recommend them just to be safe, but also, you know, be yourself?
Okay, and you mean be safe in like what regard?
As far as, you know, we've had like a lot of protests around here to where we're like, hey, you know, we're located in Durham, so we're like, you know, a lot of protests going on. We should probably start taking a look at if our students are going out there and just best practices for them just to be
safe. Yeah.
Yeah, in that span.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is very, you know, it's very scary times to be protesting during a pandemic. But, you know, still be smart, you know, as you're out there protesting. But again, I encourage you to get involved. We have an election coming up. Most parishes and counties and states are having local elections. It's time to get involved. And in the world of Google, you can find out anything you want to find out about candidates, positions, their voting record, their beliefs, fill in the blank. You can follow their Twitter and see what's popping. So you don't have to be ignorant in this day and age.
Yep.
So yeah, it is very important for students to have their voice be heard, but also be very smart. And again, I tell students all the time, don't wait. I mean, why not? You know, run for office now. You know, run for something, even if it's city council or whatever, you know, opportunity you have in your local area. There is no time like the present. You don't have to wait for something to, I mean, look at the people that's in office. I mean, I'm sure you can do it. You know, it's like.
That part.
Yeah. It's so crazy because I think on our last show, Cape was like, you know what? There's Google, there's YouTube. I can find all these things.
Absolutely.
You can find out anything.
You have to like try to be ignorant these days. You like actively really work.
Yes. And I would say too, you know, you can't believe everything you read, of course, right? Like if you see something, you read it, but then go check another source. Make sure, because sometimes all information isn't right information, right?
Yeah.
You know, they teach you that. But, you know, young people will see someone on Instagram and run with it. It could just be a ploy. You know what I mean?
Like, well, hold up. You know, you gotta.
Yeah. And the Instagram is like the Bible to them. And so you just have to be careful where your source of information is coming from. But you're right. I mean, Google is Google. So, look, it's so funny this question is on here about T.I. because T.I. just challenged 50 Cent to the Verses. Did you see that?
He said he's not scared of the bully.
He's scared of him. Well, I'm the king of the South. I saw. I love it. I hope they do it too.
The South will not be bullied by Two Quarters.
I understand. He's not backing down from Mayweather. He's not backing down from nobody.
Never nobody.
And you know I got my money on the King of the South.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was just arguing with my boys about this. And this is a little off topic of what we're talking about it. But I just told him, I said, after 50's first two albums, you know, T.I. go back to, like, trap music and you know what I mean? T.I. versus T.I.P. I mean, there's too much.
The anniversary of that was just on July 3rd.
I know. So the catalog is more
vast. He has a vast
catalog. Vast. There you go, yeah. Dr. Williams. Way to help me out. Don't man like
it. I got it.
It's more vast. 50 got two great albums. I think his underground album before I left. It's solid. After that, you gotta roll with T.I. But let's move on. So you got a new project coming up with T.I. Can you speak on how you got started with that and how it all went into getting that accomplished?
Yeah, so it all started with me wanting to bring color into the academy. As we continue to look at how we reframe our institutions and how we're presenting the pedagogy to students in this new era of digital learning and, you know, the hip hop world, and, you know, how do we interface that and integrate that into the curriculum? And so everybody knows that I am a huge fan. I am the trap music aficionado. And I felt that that was a mechanism in which we could integrate the, you know, our curriculum with the real world. And so I've been wanting to teach this class for so many years, and teach a class on trap music, hip hop music, and maybe in the English department or the business of it or economics of it, or it as a arts and humanities. I mean, it was so many different thoughts running in my mind. And I was at an event in New Orleans where Tip was speaking. And he was phenomenal. I mean, he gave a phenomenal presentation. And I knew in that moment that he and I should partner. So I presented the idea to him that night. We talked about it. And shots out to his chief of staff, Toy Ann. She and I and Tip had so many different meetings during the pandemic. And we literally just got the ball rolling and decided that this is something we wanted to do, to talk about you know, the origins, the culture, and the business of trap music. Because, you know, so many people see Tip on stage and they see him as the entertainer, but they don't understand that it is a business. You know, he goes on stage for that 45 minutes, that 50 minute set, but, you know, there are attorneys that are working with him to make this happen. There are business deals, there are videos to be made, there are so many facets of work that has to happen for this artist, national recording artist, and this business known as Tip to do the things that we get to see and enjoy as, you know, music lovers.
Right.
In addition, trap music and hip hop music has become a, has become the backdrop of our culture. I mean, you look at an NFL game, you can't score a touchdown without somebody playing, you know, especially if you're in New Orleans, you know, everybody has a song. If you're, you know, a Dallas Cowboys fan, everybody knows, you know, the popular song when, you know, the touchdown is made. I mean, our culture has been blanketed with music as an undercurrent. And so, you know, why not a popular music, a subgenre of hip hop as a way to really integrate that into the business department. We will be working with the business department at Clark Atlanta, and we're thrilled, and we're, you know, shots out to Clark Atlanta and President French for taking the journey with us for this pretty dope project.
So we always started this even back at when we were at VCU together. Like, we were getting ready to go to practice, and Cape would cut the car on, right? And he'd be like, give me something good as far as
gotta get something, get motivated, right?
So that's it's off the wall question, but what's the song for you that is not necessarily planned, but when you hear it, you're like, oh, it's about to be a good day?
Oh my gosh, it depends on the mood and the moment. I mean, right now, I will say in my car, it's Us or Else. I'm back to Tip's album, Us or Else. If you haven't, it is the anthem for now. It is the anthem for the protest. So just go through that. Black Man, I could go on and on. And right now with Nasty C has this new song out. It's hot. It is complete fire. And it's right. It's the theme for now. So
gotcha.
Title, Jay-Z's platform, support the Black news.
I don't know if I told you this earlier, but Kate, I was listening to an interview she did, and she was like, you know, I wake up in the morning, I talk to Jesus, and there's trap music.
Right. I mean, in that order.
It's all about balance, as you said. It's about that balance.
Yeah, you gotta have some balance.
So Dr. Williams, like, we
and I love words. And so one thing one thing that people don't may not know about me, I absolutely love words and how people put words together to create emotion and all of the different feelings that come with, and to communicate. So words are one of the most important things that we have as living people. So the way that people put words together to ensure that we have an understanding, no matter what the topic may be.
Absolutely.
And it's been great, and we're at our last question. I wish we had some
last question. Awesome. I think I'm hanging in there.
What kind of, you know, recommendations would you give someone who is, you know, trying to follow in your footsteps, you know, within higher education? Because a lot of times, you know, we want that, you know, immediate success results, but can you get to more so like the work ethic that it takes to kind of succeed, not just in higher education, but just in life?
Well, I would not encourage anybody to follow in behind my footsteps. I would encourage people to chart their own, use my footsteps and as a guidepost, as maybe a North Star, my direction, because I'm gonna keep moving. And you just won't, if you're trying to keep up with me, you won't be able to do that, because I'm on a path of my own, I'm on a journey of my own, and I have dreams and visions and goals that are specifically for me. So I encourage people that are out there to really hone in on what you want to do, and then do that. You know, then do that. You know, it is time for innovation to take its rightful place in in our culture. And don't let your ideas go untapped, because that is what God has given you, the ability to innovate and to create and to, to bring forth so many different things that can really change the way we are living in society. We couldn't imagine a world without an iPhone. You know, we couldn't imagine, you know, I thought the flip phone, the Razor was it. I'm like, what could be better?
That Razor was tough back in the day.
I got the Razor, right? You know, I mean, not that. And then, you know, you look at so many businesses that you thought at some point that, you know, Blockbuster, of course, that's the only way that you get a video. And then a little Redbox came up. And then, you know, now you stream. And so, you know, as a people, as a culture, what are we going to do next? So I've done the work that I am supposed to do. And I know that there is more work for me to do. And I will be doing that. So for people that are looking up to me, I appreciate that. And I respect that. And I'm so honored by those that see anything that I've done as a source of motivation. But the gospel song also says you have to encourage yourself. And, you know, there are going to be times when things are going to look impossible. And it's, you know, you won't see how these things are going to work out for you. But if you trust in God and know that, you know, he is the person that can give you the strength and the energy and more ideas and the ability to do and to move forward, then that's what's going to make all of the things and all of your dreams happen. And you got to have some hustle and some grind about yourself. And if you don't, and if you're sitting on your vision, if you're sitting on your dreams, and if you're, you know, just sitting on the sidelines looking at me, then, then that's a waste. And that's a waste of your talent. And that's a waste of what God has given you. So, find it to not be robbery to give of yourself and to show the world what ideas and how you can be a catalyst for change.
It's awesome. Funny you say you sit on the sideline watching me.
Yeah, watch me.
My vice chancellor, I was like, who wants to be the best background singer?
They better get in this game. And in the arena, you know, I mean, because, hey, if, you know, I'm going to make mistakes. And, you know, people that are, you know, and I appreciate people that look up to me and my followers and And I love, you know, those people. I mean, I really do. And it is a source of encouragement, but it is not my motivator. You know, I'm motivated by what's inside me and the goals that I have set for myself. And that's what I'm chasing. So.
Man, Dr. Williams, I definitely appreciate you taking the time. I knew it was going to be like this type of atmosphere, type of vibe, just because I just know you and watching you. So I was got to have her. But I definitely just appreciate you being on.
Oh, I am honored to be here with you guys. And, you know, keep up the good work. I'm just so proud to be a part of the show. And thank you all for inviting me. I really want to just thank you for seeing something that you think that I may be able to impart to your viewers. And before I go, I have to thank my team because they make sure I'm in the right spot, the right place, and put in the right codes and all that. So
shout
out to my team, CJ Enterprises, Alicia, she keeps me together and she makes sure I'm, you know, doing the right thing. So thank you to the team.
Thank you. I'll be sure to reach out to you soon.
Yeah, Dr. Williams, thank you so much. And it was a pleasure to meet you or virtually meet you. And Drew talked about you since that health thing and talked about his experience. So he's not always right, but he was right this time.
He was right. I didn't let him down. But I will say this, everybody out there, anybody that wants to connect with me, please do so. I'm on social media. You can follow me on Instagram. It's at Kristy Love. That's KRISTILOVE. Or you can just put in Melba Williams and you'll find me. You can direct message me. You can email me. You can go to my website at melbawilliams.com. I think that's it. And, you know, I am here for you if you have ideas or things that you want to run by me. I'm always available. I make myself accessible to anybody that wants to reach out to me, especially higher ed, HBCUs, and whatever. So, Drew, you know that anytime you guys need me, just call.
Appreciate you. I just followed you, too. I'm a looking
for
you.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we appreciate you. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. See you later, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.